3 a.m. Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
AP News. I'm Ed Donahue. The Washington Post is reporting lawyers for former President Donald Trump found at least two items marked as classified during a recent search of a storage unit in West Palm Beach, Florida, and have provided them to the FBI. The nature of the classified materials was not immediately clear. The FBI recovered roughly 100 documents marked as classified during an August search of Trump's Palm Beach estate. Other items were found earlier this year. Equipment damaged at substations knocked out in North Carolina have been fixed. The AP's Julie Walker reports lights are starting to go on again.
In a statement on its website, Duke Energy says Moore County customers will gradually get power back throughout the day. More than 45,000 customers were without power over the weekend. Authorities have said the outages began Saturday night after one or more people drove up to the substations, breached the gates, and opened fire on them. Police have not released a motive, but the Moore County Sheriff says whoever was responsible knew exactly what they were doing to cause the outage that they did. The FBI has posted a notice seeking information. I'm Julie Walker.
There's skepticism on the Supreme Court of a broad ruling in North Carolina that would leave state legislatures virtually unchecked in making rules for congressional and presidential elections. This is Justice Elena Kagan.
This is a theory with big consequences. It would say that if a legislature engages in the most extreme forms of gerrymandering, there is no state constitutional remedy for that, even if the courts think that that's a violation of the Constitution.
Conservatives on the court seem open to simply limiting state court power in some circumstances. Five more men are being turned over for trial on charges related to a foil plot to kidnap the governor of Michigan, Gretchen Whitmer, over her coronavirus restrictions. This is AP News.
We tried Dynavite for gut health and immune support, and after a couple of weeks, our little Gizmo was acting like a puppy again. His coat was shinier, he had a lot less scratching and shedding, and he seemed like his happy old self.
My dog smelled and scratched constantly. We bathed and sprayed her, took her to the vet, but no results. Now, a little Dynavite in her food helps Bella keep her beautiful coat with no scratching or smell.
Get 10% off your next order of Dynavite nutritional supplements for dogs at Dynavite.com.
Happier, healthier with every bite. Over a million pets helped with Dynavite.
Looking for the perfect gift? Get them a shirt from Untuckit. Untuckit shirts are designed to be worn untucked. They're the easiest way to keep him looking sharp and feeling comfortable. You can't go wrong with their super soft flannels, wrinkle-free shirts, performance shirts with stretch, and cozy sweaters that are all perfect for right now. They even have a line for her. Find the perfect gift for every guy on your list at one of 80-plus Untuckit stores or at Untuckit.com. Untuckit, shirts designed to be worn.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
The Devil's Advocates.
Now, we've had Ted Cruz more than once.
He has very slippery hands.
And once in Ishiwaka, Indiana.
He was so desperate. He literally walked into this diner with families eating and shook every single person's hand, whether they wanted him to or not. And some of the kids are like, what? Bobby!
He was invading lots of bubbles. Bobby, make the greasy man go away! I can smell the desperation, Mommy!
This is Pat Greitlow from Up North News Radio. On the air, online, or on demand, make it a point to catch the first word on Wisconsin news, sports, and more weekday mornings from 6 to 8 all across the stations of the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. What's your mind, Gene of Eau Claire?
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really missed you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
What's your mind, Andrew of Detroit?
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Women get a lot of advice about self-care these days, but one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matinere with your headlines. The Department of Corrections has implemented a new behavioral motivation system at the Lincoln Hills and Copper Lake schools. The system is rooted in positive reinforcement and gives the young people the chance to earn rewards for good behavior. Conditions are improving. WisPolitics.com reports some prefer the old system where they could buy the things they wanted versus now where they have to earn them by following rules and exhibiting pro-social skills. Staffing levels are also improving at the facilities. In honor of National Pearl Harbor Remembrance Day, Governor Tony Evers ordering the flags of the U.S. and the state of Wisconsin to be flown at half staff. 54 service members from Wisconsin were among the 2,403 lives lost during the Pearl Harbor attack. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy!
Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxy, beware! The defender of the universe is here.
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke Bryan!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Hello and welcome to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. On this Wednesday afternoon, I'm broadcasting from the Solidarity Realty Studios in Madison on Devil Radio 92.7 FM, WTTN 1580 AM, and around the states across Civic Media. And here in the Solidarity Realty Studios, I'm joined by William Walter. Will, how you doing, my friend?
What is up, party people? I am always doing well. I decided to gaslight everybody since they can look outside and see the weather themselves. It's a beautiful Wednesday afternoon, sunny and 75, I'd say, give or take.
Stop it. See, I'm starting to believe that your little pack with Mother Nature isn't necessarily a pack, and more it's been coincidence up until now, but it's a little bit of a dreary day here in Madison.
No comment.
No comment. All right. You plead the fifth.
I'm going to play this one safe.
All right. Fair enough. Folks, welcome to the show. If you want to join us at any time during this hour, you can give us a call. Send us a text, 844-967-2789. Thank you, Evan, for working those ones and twos on the magical board, lightly screening your phone calls. And it's an interesting Wednesday. We had a runoff election in Georgia. We're going to get into that and what it means for the national state of politics coming up at 2:30. But before then, let's lead with some of the local news here, Will, because there's an interesting story that WTMJ4 out of Milwaukee released from their iTeam investigation, and it's a pretty interesting one, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on it. But this is the story from TMJ4. The headline, bear with me, folks, it just jumped away, but here it is. The headline, Judge Darrow allows suspect 2 days to go to jail, instead man attacks family. So
drove across state lines to attack family.
A lot of recurring themes from past news stories here in the state of Wisconsin, kind of culminating in this one story. But interesting. It's going to be interesting to see how this gets portrayed across different news outlets and some of the other talking heads here in the state of Wisconsin. Because Judge Jennifer Darrow announced last week that she was going to be getting into the state Supreme Court race. She is the judge that oversaw the trial of the Waukesha Christmas Parade attacker, Daryl Brooks Jr. And according to Dan Kelly, her competitor, other conservative competitor in this state Supreme Court race, she's got no other reason to run besides the fact she gained some national attention during the trial of the Waukesha Christmas Parade attacker. And apparently now, this past week, she was in court sentencing a man for domestic abuse to 4 months in jail, and gave the man 2 days to report. I don't know if that's typical. I don't know if that's standard for what Doro's done in the past. Those details are still going to come out. But for conservatives here in Wisconsin that have bemoaned cash bail and the
made entire commercials against Mandela for how evil he is for supporting cash bail,
supporting a federal level program for the state of Wisconsin that Republicans at the federal level like Chris Christie. Notable liberal Chris Christie.
Famously yeah. Liberal Chris Christie, yes.
Individuals like that promoting the bail system at the federal level to do away with cash bail here in the state of Wisconsin. It's going to be interesting to see what their takes are on this instance because this man that was sentenced to 4 months in prison across state lines down to Illinois and stabbed the soon-to-be ex-in-laws. He is, again, a abuser. He's been found guilty of domestic abuse, was sentenced to jail time, given 2 days to report to jail, and in that time went down to Illinois and stabbed his wife's parents. And it's going to be really interesting to see what kind of light gets put onto this, because Chisholm, the district attorney for Milwaukee, was criticized by Republicans for the instances around bail and
soft on crime.
Yes. And so I have a feeling this story is going to come up quite a bit over the next several months as this state Supreme Court race plays out. But that is the headline. Doro given a man 2 days to report to jail. And in that time, he rather than get his affairs in order, he went across state lines down to Illinois and fired a gun outside the house, broke into the home of his in-laws and stabbed his in-laws. Thankfully, everybody, I believe, is supposed to recover from this incident. It does sound like the soon-to-be ex-father-in-law in the story is retaliated, defended his wife, who was the first to be stabbed, and did stab the assailant 17 times, it sounded like, from the reporting over at TMJ4. But man, this is going to be an aspect, I think, I didn't know if cash bail was going to be we haven't seen the Republicans since Election Day, 29 days ago, really talk up a whole lot of crime. The mention of crime on Fox News, OAN, all of that is plummeted
off a cliff. Yeah, the data has it from just mentioning 35 times an hour to all of a sudden being down to like once or twice an hour.
Just like when the migrant caravans are used, then all of a sudden they just poof.
We got to dig up these news stories to scare some people real quick. Let's go down to let's go back to our favorites.
Yeah. So the grievances by Republicans took a little break, and then it'll be interesting to see now how this state Supreme Court race. We've already seen the conservative candidates go after each other.
I think that's the most interesting aspect, Luke, is, you know, you mentioned how often is this story going to get touched on? I'm inclined to say never, because it just seems like something the Republicans would try to wash under the rug. Oh, we're not going to talk about that. It's not a liberal judge, so it doesn't fit into our agenda. But what'll be interesting is to see
DA Eric Toney is a very similar approach as DA Chisholm in Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. And Toney was the Republican candidate for AG. Very similar policies. You're right. He didn't talk about them at all as he was running against incumbent Attorney General Josh Call this past November.
I'm interested to see if Kelly makes it a part of the primary campaign. You know, do they go after each other hard? Does he
wants that
make
lane.
A commercial to throw it out? Like Judge Doro is soft on crime. She lets out domestic abusers.
Would it be an effective ad, though? Because she, again, is running.
Her entire campaign is
some people believe
that she's right.
her entire campaign is based on the experience that she put on display during the Waukesha Christmas Parade trial. And so I don't know if that insulates her from being able to take attacks, say, quote unquote, soft on crime or not. It'll be, like I said, interesting to keep an eye on.
If I'm Kelly's team, that's what I'm testing then. Her entire campaign rhetoric is I'm strong on crime. I will protect you and your family. And then Kelly's going to be like, oh, well, you didn't right here in this massive news story or situation.
Yeah.
Like, It blows a hole, and a massive hole through her entire campaign strategy.
And it'll be interesting to see. 1 week in, I feel like this is not the headline. But again, it happened last week. So it's the same time that she was announcing her candidacy for state Supreme Court. This was what was unfolding from a trial that was in her courtroom. And now the state Supreme Court race isn't going to be the only four-way race on the ballot next spring, Will, because we're learning now today, according to WISP Politics, that the Republican primary on February 21st, we already knew that there were three Republicans vying for this seat, being vacated by retiring State Senator Alberta Darling. A fourth Republican now, the village president for Thiensville, Van Mobley, told WISP Politics today that he's getting into that race. So he's currently he's in his fourth term as village president, and will be the fourth Republican to announce his plans to run for this seat. What are your thoughts on that race developing into a four-way race as well, Will?
It's going to be a battle. I mean, like we've talked about in the past, I'm pretty well-versed on the 22nd, 23rd, 24th Assembly District and their representative.
The 8th State Senate District as a whole. Those are your stomping grounds.
So this is my community. And, we just spent 2 years working on these midterms. Like, people are exhausted, and we got to get right back at it. We got to go right back to the mat. It's the bell's already rung, and it's time to get back in the ring.
Yeah.
No time off. Democracy needs protecting.
There is no time off. Mobley said that his campaign, and this is Van Mobley, again, village president of Thiensville, he said his campaign for the 8th State Senate District will focus on three issues: approving a bill adding exception to the state's 1849 ban on abortion that would embarrass Governor Tony Evers if he didn't sign it, cutting taxes with an eye toward addressing the state's labor shortage, and encouraging the consolidation of school districts and municipal services. So that is what Van Mobley is campaigning on for that 8th State Senate District on the special primary that will be taking place on February 21st for the Republicans. I think it's pretty interesting that he's already going out there saying that they want to put exceptions in a bill that would embarrass Evers if he didn't sign it. So it's like,
now I wonder which, in theory, that means it's going to be something that would be, I don't want to say, you know, a moderate take, but he's wording it in a way that sounds like this is going to be something the general population supports. It's going to be a protection for rape or incest or something along those lines. What if it's the opposite end of that? It's just like so outlandishly extreme that when he says Governor Evers will be embarrassed, he's more catering to his right-wing audience than anybody else. I have no idea. I don't know who he is.
I don't know enough about him to know what kind of exceptions he'd be interested in putting that 1849 abortion ban. But it'll be Evers has pretty much drew a line in the sand, saying that he's not going to sign anything that restricts a woman's right to make that decision with her and her healthcare providers.
And that's why it was so important that we all got out this November.
Yeah. So, folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents. We got a couple other headlines here in the state of Wisconsin that we're going to get to, as well as corporations are raking it in at record numbers still.
What else is new?
And the political ramifications of what last night's runoff in Georgia mean for the rest of this lame duck and the upcoming congressional session. So there's a lot to talk about, and we'll get to your phone calls as well. 844-967-2789. If you want to follow Dueling Tangents on Twitter, you can at Dueling Tangents. Will, really appreciate you joining me today. We got a quick break coming up here, but we'll continue this conversation in a moment. Stay tuned.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
So all you folks out there, if you haven't registered to vote, register to vote. Get ready to vote.
There are so many things on the ballot this November, at our freedom, our liberty, and our way of life. But we'll get to all of that this evening.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m. on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
My mother was very familiar with her neighborhood, but one day she stopped at the stop sign and she wasn't even really sure where she was at.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Highs level off around 38. This afternoon, under overcast skies, northwesterly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Lows dip down to about 27 tonight, mainly cloudy. Overcast skies tomorrow, mixed precipitation possible at times, ice level off around 38. About an inch of snow tomorrow night through Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 32 degrees.
WAUK 540 AM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. Joined in studio on this Wednesday afternoon, Brighton's sunny Wednesday afternoon.
Beautiful, gorgeous, if he had his way, Wednesday afternoon.
But he's not. This is a little dreary out there. But William Walter joining me in studio.
I'm looking outside right now, Luke. It looks nice.
I don't know how you're excusing
enough.
It. You're gaslighting the folks out there. It's kind of a typical December afternoon. We had some snowfall earlier. We're, I think, bracing for some snowfall later in the week. And so it's definitely a typical December day. So we won't fault you.
I will say it could be worse, at least.
That's the win that I'll... It's not the 5.5 feet or whatever dropping on the city of Buffalo back.
You're welcome, Madison, by the way.
You're welcome.
That would have been us, but.
But we are in studio with William Walter talking just some of what's going on around the state of Wisconsin and the nation. And this one's an interesting one, Will, because we're now, for several quarters now, so at the start of this year, start of 2022, we were being told all about how it was the infrastructure bill passed last year, or the American Rescue Plan, which quite literally saved hundreds of thousands of small businesses around the country. The spending in those bills last year was what was contributing to rising prices. It's what news outlets reported on, a lot of talking heads on the far right. Wanted to cast the blame on the Biden administration, Democrats, for passing very vital legislation that we drastically needed. We needed more aid to get out and recover from the COVID-19 pandemic, which is still ongoing, folks. Like, that is still something.
In case you weren't aware, this is still a thing that we are facing.
Yes, if you have not yet gotten your second round of boosters, please make an appointment to do so. We are still in the midst of this pandemic. Yes, it's, you know, it's waning phases. It's still it's more moving into an endemic rather than pandemic. But if you're not taking the precautions and doing what's necessary to stop the spread of COVID, think about that this holiday season. Indoor winter with these dreary days, it's important. But the American Rescue Plan was needed. We needed an investment in infrastructure with the bipartisan infrastructure bill that was passed last year and signed by President Biden. We have crumbling roads. Our airports, our bridges, our highways, they needed investment in after decades of neglect. And there was this kind of golden opportunity for corporations around the country that they saw the need to, yes, the COVID-19 pandemic just altered supply chains. And as things began to open up, as vaccines were more readily available and people were ready and prepared to go out and return somewhat to normal life, corporations saw the opportunity. They started raising prices, to be able to make up for lost revenue throughout the pandemic. And so you got media figures and talking heads blaming it on government spending, corporations seeing the golden opportunity that they have cover from those talking points.
Yeah, use inflation as a
protection. Oh, it's inflation. It's inflation. It's inflation. It's this magical thing, inflation. It's affecting everybody. And you've got people, opportunists on both sides, both sides as in corporations and the media, blaming the government. And there was opportunity. And so in the first quarter of this year, we found out that, lo and behold, corporations set record highs for profit margins. Second quarter set record highs for profit margins.
Oh, gosh darn it, we did it again. How weird.
Weird that the third quarter now, Will, is showing the same exact thing. Because our friends over at Up North News sharing out that the corporate profits outside of the financial sector hit a record high of $2.08 trillion in the third quarter.
That's trillion with a T.
Trillion with a T. Lending further evidence to the argument that the private sector is a driver of the inflation harming American families. So, Will, how many record-setting quarters in a row do you think we need to experience that people are like, oh, maybe it wasn't the government spending, maybe this isn't the Dark Brandon and the Biden administration doing all of this stuff. Maybe it's corporations taking advantage of a situation and moving those higher costs to consumers and forcing us to pay more while they reap all the benefits.
I mean, where do they get their news from? Because that determines whether or not they'll ever hear about this. You know, like it's funny. You hear every, you know, so many right-wing talking heads, like you said, oh, 40-year high inflation, 40-year high inflation. Well, corporate profits are at 50-year highs.
Yeah.
You know, these things, these ideas go hand in hand. And, you know, tell me if I'm wrong, but conceptually, if we were facing inflation or inflationary economic situation, like right-wing media talks about, corporate costs should be going up as quickly as prices are going up.
Well, and you should see smaller profit margins.
Thus, because creating lower profit margins, right?
Because
costs are going up because the value of a dollar is going up.
Yeah.
If their costs were going up as quickly...
The value of the dollar is going down.
Or because the value of the dollar is going down, excuse me. If costs were going up at the same rate as revenue, profits should either stabilize or go down.
Yeah.
But profits massively increasing, like we have seen, is showing that they are raising prices much faster than their costs are raising. Thus, this is price gouging 101.
Yes.
Am I wrong? Like,
no, I think you got that one spot on, Will.
Okay.
Because it is very telling that right now that we are seeing these corporate profit margins continue. Third quarter in a row, setting records. And you've still got some people out there being like, oh, this is Joe Biden's fault.
Sleepy Joe giving all these Americans $1,400 and ruining our economy.
Yeah, 20 months ago, what was it?
Like, right.
Yeah, it's been a while since any of those stimulus checks went out. Folks, I don't think that's the problem. You're listening to Dueling Tangents, joined by Will this Wednesday. I was almost going to say Thursday afternoon, but it's still Wednesday, folks. If you want to join the conversation, share your tangent, 844-967-2789. We're going to get into the results of the Georgia runoff next and your phone calls. Again, 844-967-2789.
The Shaw 101 FM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit wesaysaveit.org. That's wesaysaveit.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Work, the kids' practices, household errands. Seems like every hour's rush hour at our house. But no matter how busy things get, we still make balanced nutrition a priority with help from Country Hearth Natural Breads. Whole grains and other natural ingredients are carefully blended and baked into delicious, nutritious breads like Dakota-style 12-grain, multi-grain, and 100% whole wheat. There's a Country Hearth favorite for everyone in the family. Country Hearth Breads, baking our best.
I'm Ed Donahue with an AP News Minute. Time magazine has named its 2022 Person of the Year.
Time's Person of the Year is Ukraine's President Zelensky for proving, says Time, that courage can be as contagious as fear. When Russia invaded Ukraine on February 24th, Volodymyr Zelensky stayed in Kyiv, the capital. He didn't run, says Times editor-in-chief Edward Felsenthal. Volodymyr Zelensky was a comedian who turned politician. When the war broke out, he worked to rally Ukrainian resistance. Time magazine's Felsenthal says President Zelensky and the spirit of Ukraine are Time's 2022 Person of the Year for reminding the world of the fragility of democracy and of peace. I'm Rita Foley.
Russian President Vladimir Putin acknowledged his special military operation in Ukraine is taking longer than expected, but hailed it as a major achievement. I'm Ed Donahue.
We tried Dynavite for gut health and immune support, and after a couple of weeks, our little Gizmo was acting like a puppy again. His coat was shinier, he had a lot less scratching and shedding, and he seemed like his happy old self.
My dog smelled and scratched constantly. We bathed and sprayed her, took her to the vet, but no results. Now, a little Dynavite in her food helps Bella keep her beautiful coat with no scratching or smell.
Get 10% off your next order of Dynavite nutritional supplements for dogs at Dynavite.com.
Happier, healthier with every bite. Over a million pets helped with Dynavite.
Looking for the perfect gift? Get them a shirt from Untuckit. Untuckit shirts are designed to be worn untucked. They're the easiest way to keep him looking sharp and feeling comfortable. You can't go wrong with their super soft flannels, wrinkle-free shirts, performance shirts with stretch, and cozy sweaters that are all perfect for right now. They even have a line for her. Find the perfect gift for every guy on your list at one of 80-plus Untuckit stores or at Untuckit.com. Untuckit, shirts designed to be worn.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell with this news. A second death is now linked to the man in Racine police call the dating app predator. Police found a body inside a home where Timothy Olson used to live. Olson is under investigation for the death of a South Milwaukee woman. Olson is in jail on an unrelated kidnapping charge. A new invasive fungus called tar spot is devastating corn crops across the Midwest. Scientists believe the disease originated in Central America and was brought here by tropical weather in 2015. The disease penetrates the leaf surface and kills the corn. In sports, defensive coordinator Jim Leonard says he'll leave the Wisconsin football program after the Guaranteed Rate Bowl on the 27th. Wisconsin and Marquette were both winners in men's college basketball last night. The Bucks host Sacramento tonight. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined in studio by William Walter. Talking Wisconsin headlines, and going to get to some national politics here as well, but going to head over to the phone lines now. We got our friend Dick in Madison calling in. Dick, what's on your mind on this Wednesday afternoon?
Well, you guys mentioned already all this stuff about the price gouging and the corporate greed that went on. And then also they tried to, you know, like you guys said, blame it all on the stimulus package. And you know what else? I don't know, maybe I didn't hear this. You probably already said it. Had he not done the stimulus package, and we would have went into a depression, possibly, at the very least a recession, I'm sure that would have been his fault, too.
Oh, yeah. You know? If Joe Biden didn't do enough to prevent the national economy from going into a recession or depression, it would be absolutely his fault, according to all of those pundits.
So, it was damned if he did and damned if he didn't when it came to that. That's all I was going to add to it, because you know good and well that's exactly the tack they would have taken had he not done anything. And the last guy wouldn't have done anything. And we probably would have lost several more million people, because look how poorly he administered the rollout. He had that under his last month or two of his term. Mm-hmm. And did nothing. Left office with less than 3% vaccinated. Yeah, that's really doing your job.
Yeah, and he didn't account for the secondary orders of doses that needed to go through the pharmaceutical companies that were providing them. He doesn't know how government works, Dick. He's a failed real estate mogul that then revamped his image through reality TV. I don't know what anybody expected him from to be able to roll out a national vaccine program. Like, it's
well, I expected nothing less than what he did. I'll be quite honest with you. I've railed on this guy with an ex-brother-in-law since back in the 80s. What a phony he was.
Yeah, and he wanted to send out more. The Trump administration wanted to send out more stimulus dollars. Republicans in Congress wouldn't meet him on that.
That's the great irony. Who signed the first two stimulus bills? Because remember, his name was at the bottom of the check. He made sure that you knew Donald Trump gave you this money.
Yeah, he signed them. They were Trump bucks. And so he had no problem with stimulus when it was his administration that was signing off on it. And it was Republicans in Congress that were like, oh, we gotta roll back some of this spending. They didn't want the American people to receive support during the worst pandemic in 100 years.
In fact, Donald came out and even said that one of his great regrets was listening to Mitch McConnell and not issuing another stimulus check.
I think a lot of people have regrets listening to Mitch McConnell, especially because, and we appreciate your phone call, Dick, where that transitions pretty nicely into the next topic here, because Mitch McConnell going to remain in the minority in the U.S. Senate. We knew that going into this runoff, but the power-sharing agreement that McConnell and Schumer, the leader of the Democrats in the U.S. Senate, had to come up with in 2020 when it was a 50-50 split Senate. For the Rules Committee, you kind of outline how it's going to work for that session of Congress for the 2 years, and they did a power-sharing agreement with the 50-50 tie, and now that can be ripped up, Will, because Democrats will have 51 senators after last night in Georgia, the runoff election. U.S. Senator Raphael Warnock, going to be elected to a full term. He won his first term 2 years ago to fill the remaining 2 years of I forget exactly when.
Kelly Loeffler's seat.
No, but Kelly was appointed there by Kemp, and then she had to run in that special election too in 2020, and that was only for 2 years. I think somebody passed away. Somebody passed away or resigned out of the Senate from Georgia. There were some outside steps that led to Loeffler being appointed by Kemp in 2019, and then in 2020 there was a scheduled special election for the 2 years remaining on that Senate term.
Senator Johnny Isaacson resigned for health reasons.
There we go. So. Warnock initially won the remaining 2 years of that Senate term, had to run for a full 6 year Senate term this past November, didn't meet the 50% threshold. So he and Herschel Walker went to the runoff, which was held yesterday in Georgia. And U.S. Senator Raphael Warnock being sent back to the U.S. Senate this time for a full 6 years, thanks to the voters down in Georgia.
And, you know, you mentioned Mitch McConnell's role in this. He is the one nominating candidates. I believe he spent like $39 million from his own super PAC. Last night, Laura Ingraham said she was, quote, pissed because leadership is just not doing a good enough job of finding good candidates that are capable of winning. Ironic she didn't mention this previously. You know, they had 4 weeks just with this race alone, and they've had months and months and months to denounce Herschel Walker as a candidate. But they didn't until he lost, because it's just results, results, results.
The former guy's handpicked candidate, I believe, there in Georgia. There were Purdue ran for governor against Kemp. Somebody else was, I can't think of it.
And then Purdue lost his seat to Ossoff.
Yes. Yep. And that was back in 2020. But there was another, it wasn't Gomer. Gomer's from Arizona. I'm trying to think of the Trump-friendly House member that ran for the Senate seat again and lost to Herschel Walker in the Republican primary. There was somebody there, but Trump then ultimately backed Herschel Walker in this, and Mitch McConnell said that this candidate quality matters in the U.S. Senate, when Kevin McCarthy was kind of giving him some crap about going back and forth of where Republicans were picking up seats in the U.S. House of Representatives and the U.S. Senate. But it turns out that the power-sharing agreement that McConnell and Schumer had to strike back in 2020 will be ripped up for this upcoming session of Congress. And I think it's some interesting political calculus that all of a sudden shifts now, that it's a 51-49 split in the Senate. One of those things being it puts a lot less importance on the votes of both Senator Joe Manchin and Kristen Sinema in the next session. And so, Will, I kind of think this means we're going to see some things get done in the U.S. Senate during this lame duck session. We've got less than a month now before the next Congress is sworn in. And you don't think anything's going to get done?
Well, just so that we can elaborate a little bit to make clear, the biggest difference, too, on the 50-50 thing, because, you know, people who casually follow politics would recognize, oh, I thought the Democrats had control of the Senate. They technically did, as mm-hmm. the sitting vice president becomes the deciding vote. So Kamala Harris was the 51st vote.
Correct.
But, as you mentioned, with the split-sharing agreement, it means that committees
every single
had to
committee.
Be... Every single
All
committee had to
committees.
Be every other... party leadership.
Well, no, I believe it was just there was a chair and a co-chair, and they had almost equal power through the power sharing, and so there was no subpoena power for Senate committees because Democrats didn't have the outright majority. They had this power sharing agreement that prevented them from, even when Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson, now Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson, was nominated. The reason that there was some delays there in the parliamentary aspects of her nomination procedure through the U.S. Senate was because there was a 50-50 tie on the Judiciary Committee in the U.S. Senate. And now there are things like that are done away with mm-hmm. Come January. There will be an outright majority on all of these committees in the Senate, and so it gives the committees in the Senate a little bit more power. Again, the reason why we saw a House Select Committee on January 6th and not a joint select committee between both bodies of Congress, Republicans had that power-sharing agreement in place with the 50-50 Senate. So now I think the January 6th House Select Committee just becomes the January 6th...
Pass it over to the Senate.
Senate committee.
Yep.
And so it's just going to move there. That's one of the ramifications. But with the House changing hands and the Senate having the 51-49 split now instead of 50-50, I think over these next 3 weeks, not even a full 3 weeks because the holidays are coming up as well, but there's a lot to get done. And I have a feeling there's going to be some flames held to the feet of Manchin and Sinema in the Senate to try to get some of the things done that they know they won't even be able to begin to touch with Kevin McCarthy or whoever the poor schmuck that becomes Speaker
whatever
of the
poor
House.
Chap gets tricked into that role. Yeah.
They're going to have a real hard time. Like the Freedom Caucus on steroids is essentially what Marjorie Taylor Greene and Matt Gaetz are going to do. It's going to be more or less a political circus in the House of Representatives over the next 2 years. And I think there's going to be some things that get passed in the next several days. I'm hoping to start to get whiplash, to be honest, Will. Like, I'm hoping they're going to just start cranking these things out.
It might just be my youth apathy, but man, Luke, you have a much higher... You have
I know there's a lot of septuagenarians and octogenarians in there, and so whiplash for them may be really painful, but I'm hoping that they just start... Like, we saw the Respect for Marriage Act get passed. Senator Tammy Baldwin here in Wisconsin working very hard to make sure that she couldn't get the votes before the midterm election. She got right back at it and... got the votes necessary to pass that in this lame duck session. We still have to get the vote in the House, but I believe Nancy Pelosi is going to get that done before the gavel switches hands. I believe that will get to the President Biden's desk before the holidays. But there's also a government funding bill that needs to be passed before the end of next week, I believe. Like, there's a clock ticking on the government funding bill. There's looming conversations about the debt ceiling. That's something that Republicans have already indicated that they want to hold hostage Social Security and Medicare benefits if the debt to negotiate around the debt ceiling. If Joe Manchin and Kristen Sinema don't want to see cuts to those programs, they better get
on board,
get moving, yeah, and pass either an increase or an elimination altogether of the debt ceiling. Because again, this political circus that's going to come out of the House of Representatives come January 3rd is going to be something that we haven't seen in a while.
Do you know how much Jim Jordan we're going to see? Like 30-35 second clips of Jim Jordan just going in front of random locations and just
spewing
BS left and right.
That's an excellent reminder to put some mute notifications on anything that Jim Jordan does social media.
This is going to be brutal.
But I have a feeling that with the government spending bill, there's a chance maybe to get the expanded child tax credit tacked onto that for maybe another year or two or indefinitely if they're lucky. But I think that there's some options out there that Congress, between now and the end of the year, could possibly get together. But you're thinking, no, the there's not going to be a whole lot besides the bare minimum.
If they had 3 months to do this, I would still not have a whole lot of faith. 3 weeks? I mean, it's a good thing it's not the Wisconsin legislature because they would have already been tuned out since like March.
Yeah.
But they got 3 weeks. Let's get something done. I think one thing that we haven't really touched on yet that I think is really vital to at least mention briefly is with Warnock's win last night, Democrats have now gained one Senate seat and two governor's seats. It's the first time since 1934 that a sitting president's party has gained in the midterm.
And no incumbent lost.
No incumbent loss
as well of the president's party, which I believe ties back to that same date, 1934. So since FDR, this hasn't been done by a Democrat in office. I believe there
not
was
lose a single senator. Yeah, first time since 34.
Yeah, so it was definitely a historic evening in Georgia. This has been a historic midterms. It was everything that Republicans had hoped for, except the exact opposite. They got the House, but there's...
And realistically, too, something we touched on in the past week, without the mistakes from the New York Dems, they might not have won the House either.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Cuomo. Really appreciate all the hard work that he did there in New York. It's going to be interesting to see. And again, I do not feel for Kevin McCarthy. I think his life is about to become hell.
No.
For the next several years. Because, I mean, Paul Ryan, the poster boy of what Republicans wanted to be, withered under the demands from a Trump-like caucus in the House. And now we're seeing not just like a few Trump-like members in the House of Representatives, we're seeing Derek Van Orden.
I mean, they have a squad now. They have their own, counter to the squad.
And I think those members, to get the 218 votes that Kevin McCarthy needs to be Speaker of the House, they're going to make his life hell. And it's going to be interesting to see what kind of power-sharing agreements may come out of that body, because I think they're going to look pretty interesting. So, again, Joe Manchin, Kristen Sinema, get the lead out. Let's get some business taken care of before the end of the year. Raphael Warnock is going back to the U.S. Senate for a full 6-year term. And Dems are going to have 51-49 splits in the Senate. And that's going to make a lot of different political differences coming up in this new year. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents across the civic media. If you want to join the conversation, 844-967-2789.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
We have to really understand how critically important a time this is. Time for talk is over. The time for action is now. Because my voice has always been and will continue to be for people who don't have a voice.
Tune in to the Earl Ingram Show every Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Only on WAUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM, The Shaw.
What is dedication?
I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings.
That's dedication.
Find out more at fatherhood.gov.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Highs level off around 38. This afternoon, under overcast skies, northwesterly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Lows dip down to about 27 tonight, mainly cloudy. Overcast skies tomorrow, mixed precipitation possible at times, ice level off around 38. About an inch of snow tomorrow night through Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 34 degrees.
A progressive voice from Beaver Dam to Kenosha, WAUK 540 AM, always streaming at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. You're listening to this program across the Civic Media Network in Waukesha on the Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Oshkosh Air Support in Oshkosh, locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids, Lake Air in Amory, and radio from the center in Richland Center, and broadcasting live from the Solidarity Realty Studios for Devil Radio 92.7 FM, WTTN 1580 AM, out of Madison. If you want to join the show, share your tangent, 844-967-2789. Again, the news yesterday, Raphael Warnock going for a full six-year Senate term, won it in Georgia last night in the runoff. It wasn't a special, but it was a runoff election in Georgia, defeating Herschel Walker, the Republican, delivering a 51-49 majority for Democrats in the U.S. Senate. And so we talked about how the power-sharing agreement now that has been in place over these last 2 years, Will, is going to be effectively torn up. It's no longer needed. Democrats have the votes to have an outright majority. Vice President Kamala Harris does not need to be consistently in D.C. for the potential need for breaking a tie in the Senate. And Democrats have an outright majority on all of the committees in the U.S. Senate now, come January. So still not in place yet for this lame duck 3 week period that we're currently residing in. But one of the other ramifications of what that means is we touched on the Judiciary Committee earlier in the last segment, but it will be easier for Democrats to advance judicial nominations now. They don't have to deal with kind of I believe it was referred to as the gumming up of the works that Republicans were able to do through those power-sharing agreements. And currently, reading from a piece over at the Wisconsin Examiner, there are currently 89 open judicial seats. So far, 87 judges have been confirmed under the Biden administration. So more seats open now than have been filled to this point of the Biden administration. So there's 89 seats. I have a feeling now that the process may be able to get
streamlined.
They'll be full by
like January 12th.
Wow, for somebody that's so pessimistic of them needing 3 months to be able to get anything done in the lame duck session, you'd think the Judiciary Committee is going to go real fast with these.
No, I mean, it would be nice to see some progressive judges nominated across the country now that they don't have to worry about bipartisanship and, you know, being friendly and playing nice little games with the Republicans, because we know that the Republicans aren't going to do that. I don't know. We'll have to see. I mean,
still a cynic on that one, huh?
Dude, I'm a cynic like across the board, except on the weather. That's my one
except
weakness
on
is just how absolutely stunningly beautiful it is today.
Well, I mean, I have a feeling, though, there's going to be even more openings coming up besides these 89 current openings. If Democrats have the ability to kind of streamline this process, I'm hopeful that there's some. I think Democrats should take a page out of the Republican book.
Pressure on some older judges to
Breyer retired. He did it. Ketanji Brown Jackson now sits on the Supreme Court. I don't necessarily know if the other liberal leaning justices on the Supreme Court need to retire. I haven't looked at the math of how old they are versus when the next one.
People suggesting that. I believe Sotomayor is in her 50s, which
that's just
conceptually
nonsense.
Is so young. Compared to the 70 and 80 year olds that we're used to running everything. But I don't know. It's just a lot of the talk was how many, you know, we never know when we're going to have another option to do this again. It might be 30 years before the Democrats can do that.
There's plenty of federal judges below the Supreme Court that I think, you know, maybe they should think about retirement if this process is streamlined. Because, yes, the fact that we have a Democratic-held Senate and a Democrat in the White House right now leads me to believe that that is going to be the emphasis of the next 2 years of the Biden administration. It is working to get some of those current 89 vacancies filled,
judges,
seeing if there's some others that were considering retirement and didn't really know if they wanted to, but now Democrats have 51 votes in the Senate. Let's make it happen. Because again, the filibuster's been done away with. You don't need a filibuster-proof vote to be able to pass these judges. These judges can go in on a 51-49 or a 50-49 vote, for all I care. Or be damned, if there's two Democrats that don't want to support the judge, if it's a 49-49 tie, let's have VP Harris go in there and break that tie. Because
do something for us for
now. That is another aspect as well, that if they're not necessarily against the votes, if there's two Democrats that aren't present, you can now have one Democrat not be present and still pass something 50-49. Whereas in this last session, Senator Lujan, I believe, from New Mexico, suffered a stroke, Benny Lujan, and he was in need of medical rehabilitation and wasn't able to take Senate votes. And so there are things like that hinder a majority when it's as razor thin as it has been over the last 2 years. So there's a little bit of breathing room when it comes to what's going on in the U.S. Senate. And you never know what the future can hold as well. So I think they got to kind of get off the sidelines, and as soon as January rolls around, these judges are getting confirmed, because we don't know how long this majority could last. Mm-hmm. So,
well, and that's why there was so much emphasis on this Georgia race. I mean, we've touched on it in the past, but Open Secrets released a report on how much was spent on this four-week race, essentially, right? Mm-hmm. $412
million. $412
million
spent on a runoff election for a four-week period.
Mm-hmm. Including good friend Richard Uihlein, you know, who had to throw a little bit of money towards Herschel Walker, too. Because, of course, he did, right? When you have billions of dollars, what's a few million?
Oh, I mean, but he's the largest private donor, I believe, to Big Lie and Big Lie proponents and Republicans around the nation since January 6th.
Is he?
So, yeah, he... You'd have to, I don't know the source on that one. I'd have to go dig it up. But the Richard Uihlein has been, behind the scenes, one of the largest donors, if not the largest donor, over the last 2 years. And so he's been cranking in the dark money, spending it everywhere he can, and he's a big loser in all this, too. He got his golden boy back, though. U.S. Senator Ron Johnson's going for another 6 years.
Yeah, and in that sense, he got Ron Johnson's massive tax cuts, so it's money well spent if you're the Uihlein's.
I would say it was all the House's money at that point, because Ron Johnson delivered that provision for pass-throughs to be able to avoid taxes in the Trump tax bill back in 2017. So that's still a bummer. We could have had 52. And that's a conversation for another day. But folks, you've been listening to Dueling Tangents. No Brian this afternoon, but really grateful to have Will join me here in studio. If you missed any portion of this show, go check out the podcast. Will, how can the folks out there in the listening audience find you online if they want to?
Hit me up anywhere. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, WillWalter93, WILWALTER93. Or hit me up at our Wisconsin Revolution, too. We'd love to have you. You know, we're doing great work, doing what we can.
Not on Mastodon yet?
Oh, no. Jeez, no. Dude, I don't have the time for that. It took me so long to learn the ins and outs of Twitter. I'm like, no.
They called them toots instead of tweets, and I was like, no, I can't do it.
I draw the line right there.
Like, that was one of the first things I learned about Mastodon. I was like, nope, not doing that. Folks, really appreciate you joining us for this 2 o'clock hour today. Be back tomorrow at 2 p.m. We'll talk to you then across the Civic Media Network.
Have a good one, party people.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now for your crudités at 844-967-2789.
I thought they were crudy takes.
Crudies takes. See, man? It all comes back around to Sports Talk Live.
Something like that.
My wife wants some vegetables for crudité.
You know what I mean?
Listen Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.